This is Olympic champion Scott Hamilton. Yes, the real Scott Hamilton. And you're listening to the other Scott Hamilton show, where you should be entertained, informed, and maybe even amused. Just don't expect any backflips. I mean, have you seen him skate?
Opinions, perspectives, facts. This is the Scott Hamilton Show, serving up sports real Southern style. To be a part of the show, call 843-721-9500. That's 843-721-9500. Or connect on Twitter at Scott H Radio. Now, here's Scott Hamilton.
Good morning. It's Monday, the fourth day of October, and welcome to the Scott Hamilton Show. I'm alive, I'm well, and I am absolutely worn out from one heck of a weekend in the world of sports, specifically college football. Good morning, Trent.
Good morning, Scott. Happy Monday. What a great weekend we had of sports.
How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling phenomenal, Scott. Feeling ready to roll.
Feeling better? You ready to rock?
Ready to roll.
Let's get this thing going. Give me a green light.
Cause I'm ready to go. Let's have a good time.
Let's go.
What you waiting for? You only got one life.
One life.
And we gon' live it up. So give me the green light.
Give it to me.
Cause I'm ready to go.
Where to begin? We'll walk it backwards. NFL. Cowboys 36, Panthers 28. First loss of the year, rather, for Carolina. Zeke Elliott, 143 yards on 20 carries. Dak Prescott, 4 touchdowns. Panthers gave up 245 yards rushing after only giving up 135 in the first three games combined. It's going to happen, I guess, when you go to Big D. Chuba Hubbard filling in for CMC, 57 yards on 13 carries. That was his first career start. Carolina facing another NFC East team this week. Going to play Philadelphia on Sunday. Falcons lost to Washington 34-30. And then Tom Brady, TB12, returning to Foxborough, beat the Pats, 19-17. Not a pretty game.
No, close one, definitely. But it was a good showing for Tom in Foxborough.
Of course it was. It's what he does in Foxborough. Clemson Tigers got a winning record. They're 3-2 now. But it wasn't pretty, bruh. They were 15-point favorites against Boston College, held on for a 19-13 win. First loss of the season for BC, the 11th straight win over Boston College for Clemson, 31 straight wins at home. But man, that offense, stale yet again. Only a first quarter touchdown and then 4 field goals. God bless his heart by BT Potter. But they started off with a win in October after losing multiple games in September for the first time since 2014. Speaking of 2014. Before this week, that was the last time Clemson was not ranked in the AP Top 25. They are not ranked this week. I looked at collegepolltracker.com. If they went to the top 30, they would be number 26.
Oh, okay.
So they're
okay.
In the others receiving votes category. Not familiar territory at all for Dabo and crew. DJ, 13 of 28, 207 yards. Third game this season in which Clemson did not have a touchdown pass, but quoteth Dabo. Not beautiful, but we needed a win. Here's more from the coach.
But we just left a lot out there. I mean, it's just, you know, we could have put that game away about 3 or 4 different times. And, you know, we're fortunate. We're very fortunate to overcome it tonight. But they grew up. And I think the confidence of those guys really came on, and to be able to run the football, that created some things in the passing game. And that's what we've not been able to do.
Still, they grew up. That pretty much sums up things in the upstate right now. And I think that's an admission that this team is not the team of years past and that the program in and of itself is shifting a bit.
Yeah, that was big for him to say they're growing
sure
up, to realize that this is a younger squad with a young quarterback. It's going to take time for them to get on track.
What was it Rick Pitino said back when he took over the Celtics? Larry Bird's not coming through that door. Bill Russell's not coming through that door. But guess what? Deshaun Watson not coming through that door. Ooh. Unless you're a masseuse.
Oh,
Trevor, too soon. South Carolina Gamecocks beat Troy 23-14. Hey, I've been sick the last few days. I'm feeling much better.
You're ready to roll.
I'm ready to roll. Gamecocks beat Troy 23-14. David Spaulding had a 74-yard pick six. Parker White kicking those field goals. He had three of them. So let me get this straight. Power five kickers into Palmetto State made seven field goals on Saturday. That's a lot.
We produce them. We produce them.
Apparently. Luke Doty, 20 of 34, 255 yards, touchdown. No INTs, but he did have a fumble. Check this out. Troy got $1.4 million for that game.
Wow. Wow.
The guarantee game, $1.4 million. So they either got paid $1.4 million to take the loss, or Gamecocks paid $1.4 million to get the W. Either way, they did get the W. Able to overcome 10 penalties for 93 yards and five fumbles. They lost three of those. Five fumbles. Regardless, though, Shane Beamer, he's now 3-2 as a head coach. Here he is after the game.
Two guys, I feel like I aged about 40 years during that game. I don't know if it was the same in the press box, but man. But proud of our guys and the way they battled and never flinched. And obviously a huge play by Spaulding there at the end of the first half to give us momentum going into halftime. But, you know, we talked about it at halftime that we're in a dogfight, and this is a good football team that's going to come back out in the second half. And we said, you know, let's just get this thing to the fourth quarter.
Dogfight.
It was a dogfight. That Troy defense is something special for sure.
Yeah, it's just ugly, man. The South Carolina's offense is atrocious. I mean, it's almost as bad as Clemson. I'm wondering which one is worse, but I digress. There was some entertainment in the second half, and it didn't cost the Gamecocks a win, but to begin the fourth quarter, they had Troy. It was a critical third down inside South Carolina 20-yard line. Troy's trailing 20-14. They're about to make something happen, but instead, this happened.
Holy cow, wow. We've got a lot of things to look at here. First, they'll confirm whether or not it's a fumble recovery. Brown absolutely gets rid of the football before he scores.
That's Jamar Brown. He picked up a fumble because it was fumbled. Gamecocks got it, fumbled, and then Brown picked it up, took off, man, rolling, boom. Nobody around him.
No, he had 50 yards, clear grass.
And then for those of a certain age, a certain generation, the name Leon Lett will come to mind. And he just flipped it at the goal line.
Yeah, my mind immediately goes to a classic DeSean Jackson move in his heyday with the Eagles. He always used to do that kind of stuff.
It went out the back of the end zone, ended up being a touchback for Troy. And again, the Gamecocks won. That's the good news for them. But don't laugh too hard, Clemson fans, because does this seem familiar? Here's Ray McLeod in 2016, ironically, against Troy.
We're going to take a look at it. Does he still have it in his hands as he crosses the goal line? Boy, that is really close.
Troy, the harbinger of sorrow.
They get people off the cuff sometimes, you know?
And they get some money, too, $1.4 million. South Carolina goes to Tennessee on Saturday. Tennessee looked good, man, against Missouri.
Absolutely,
they dropped 62 on Missouri.
That's a good defense, too. They're not something to mess with.
I was stunned by that. Coastal Carolina crushed Louisiana Monroe 59-6. Chanticleer's now number 15 in the latest AP Top 25. Our friend Grayson McCall didn't take a snap in the second half because he went 13 of 13 for 212 yards and a pair of touchdowns in the first half. He did what he does. He was over there brushing his hair or something in the second half. Coastal's at Arkansas State on Thursday, 7:30 kickoff, ESPNU. The Chanticleers, 17.5-point favorites. Amazing weekend for college football. It didn't quite live up to what I had hoped, what you had hoped, what a lot of people had hoped, but it was still incredible. Just the anticipation alone made it worth it.
Yeah.
Check this out. 34 top 25 teams have lost through the first 5 weeks.
Wow. Unbelievable.
That's a record. That's the most in history. One of those, Ole Miss.
So sad.
Alabama 42, Ole Miss 21. Joey Freshwater went full Roy McAvoy 10 cup on us. Kept going for the green, trying to land that 5-wood from 280 on the green, man.
How do you feel about going for it on? I know the analytics, there's, you know, people say that it is better to go for it on fourth down, especially 6 yards and in, but there were some times there where they really just needed to kick it away, it felt like.
Today would have been the day to have our friend Coach Kevin Kelly, a Presbyterian, on.
That's right. Yeah, I was thinking about him when that was going on. Yeah.
I was okay with it on the first drive.
Set the tone kind of thing, yeah.
They got inside the 5 yard line. I think they went for it 3 times before that third time failed and stalled at about the 5 yard line. But after that, I thought it got a little wacko, man. I mean, I know it's all about points per possession, not necessarily field position anymore, but I thought that was it was a little too aggressive, especially since he had told us to get our popcorn ready and all that before the game.
Yeah.
I mean, he was in full Joey Freshwater mode.
Yeah, he was locked in.
Down with it. Can we get that clip of him actually telling us we better sit down, we better brace ourselves. It's going to be special.
You had a page of notes from your time here to reference back as to what bothers a Nick Saban coach team. What's on the backside of that piece of paper to tell you about today?
Well, let's hope we didn't run out of pages. So here we go. Get your popcorn ready.
Well, what's the big thing?
Whoa.
Get your popcorn ready.
I loved it. I loved it, you know, coming out doing that, but it backfired in the end, that's for sure.
Did you see the elephant with the big bag of popcorn?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Good trolling on social media as of recently.
Alabama's really good, man.
Yeah. I feel like all the colleges, their social media teams have really stepped up their level of troll as of late.
Well, I think that's because the coaches have. Mm. The coaches have loosened up, except for Saban.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll ever be a troll.
He was happy Saturday, though. He had good things to say. He actually had positive comments after the game. Here's King Nick Saban following Alabama's 42-21 win over Ole Miss.
Of, you know, dictating the tempo of the game, played really well. Got some key fourth down stops, moved the ball well on offense. We made some fourth downs, which made a big difference. But I thought we really, really played well. We knew that we were going to need to run the ball in this game, which was part of the plan. B-Rob did an outstanding job. Bryce did a good job of getting us in the right plays. If there's a negative in the game, it would be we got to learn how to finish games.
Got to learn how to finish games. Those 21 points by Ole Miss are garbage points.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I think Bama was up, what, 35-0?
We have seen that in a lot of Bama games, though, especially, you know, Florida and now the Ole Miss game. They will get points put on them in the second half. They're going to have to watch that against good teams.
I will say, I thought the Florida points were legit.
Yes, absolutely.
But when you're up 35-0 and you're doing what you want, when you want, where you want,
yeah,
big difference. And speaking of Georgia and Arkansas, oh, my gosh. Arkansas is still a good team.
Ole Miss
is still a good team.
Yeah.
But the gap between Alabama and Georgia, and we're going to ask Cole Kublik of the SEC Network in about 7 minutes, the gap between those two teams and everybody else is just astronomical.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Georgia, man, I don't know. And I've been an observer. I've been involved. I've been around college football almost all my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've ever seen a better defense. I'm thinking back to maybe the 95 Nebraska team, maybe.
Yeah.
But this one is they're exceptional, man.
There was not a point in that game on Saturday that you thought Arkansas had a chance of even moving the ball, Scott.
On the opening kickoff.
Right.
I did.
Yeah, so right when the game started, sure.
When the game started, I'm like, you know, this is going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great game. I was so excited.
They'll cover the 18. They will.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll talk about that and how we did later in the show. But, man, so much to absorb from that game. Cincinnati and Notre Dame. Cincinnati, welcome to the party, pal.
They're real deal. They're real deal.
You're in the playoff mix right now as far as I'm concerned. I mean, if the playoff selection committee sat down today, they would have to put in Cincinnati. AP has Penn State number 4. Listen to this. We're in bizarro world. 1-2 out of the SEC, Bama and Georgia. I'm down with it. I get it. I understand. 3-4 out of the Big Ten?
Crazy. Crazy.
Holy crap. I don't even know where to put my mind on that. Big Ten East, man, is so good. Now, Iowa's in the West, but you got Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, and why? Explain to me. Michigan is ranked 9th, and yet Ohio State with a loss is ranked 7th. And the team that beat Ohio State is 8th, Oregon.
Unbelievable.
I'm calling shenanigans on my friends that vote on the top 25. We're going to see if our first guest of the day agrees with me. He was a Heisman Trophy finalist, All-American quarterback at Washington State. He's now an analyst for ESPN. Ryan Leaf is going to come aboard to say Tom a guest hotline. See if he can help us make some sense out of everything that happened over the weekend and maybe get a little peek ahead to week 6. You're listening to the Scott Hamilton Show. We're just getting started. It is. There are no dominant teams in every conference but the SEC.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on Oklahoma.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not.
I love Dave Clawson at Wake Forest, but they're far from dominant. I'm still waiting to really get my doors blown off by then. Pac-12, Oregon is not infallible.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
we're in a world where Oregon State, he says, might be the best team in the Pac-12.
Unbelievable.
And then who knows in the Big Ten?
Yeah, there's so many good teams at the moment. I mean, sitting at the top, Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan, even Michigan State, you know. So it's wide open right now.
Say what you want. Ryan Leaf, seriously, I've dealt with him a few times. One of the legit good dudes out there, man. He's really turned his life around because he went through a rocky spell.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
You know, we're obligated to talk about it with this audience at least the first time we have him on here.
Right.
He, unbelievable guy.
The turnaround.
He's like a motivational speaker now, does all kinds of excellent stuff. So Ryan Leaf joining us on the Saitama guest hotline. And let me tell you about Saitama.
Mm.
New player in the cryptocurrency game, but man, $1.4 billion market cap now, and it just launched in May. I know I keep checking my wallet daily. You need to start your own wallet with a little Saitama. For more information, go to SaitamaToken.com. Again, good stuff from Ryan Leaf. On a Panic Monday, we're going to expand on it when we return on the other side. You're listening to The Scott Hamilton Show. Welcome back to The Scott Hamilton Show. On a Panic Monday, our interview with Ryan Leaf on the Saitama Guest Hotline will be available later today on charlestonsportsradio.com, Spotify, iTunes, anywhere you get your podcast, just search and subscribe to the Scott Hamilton Show. And there's some folks panicking today. It's Monday.
Definitely, definitely.
Top of my list.
Here we go.
Texas A&M.
Oh, absolutely.
Texas A&M lost to Mississippi State 26-22. 3-2 on this season. And here's what I'm trying to wrap my mind around. Jimbo, snake oil salesman, dude. Snake oil salesman. Or maybe his agent is just the best agent in the history of agents. They still got 41 points in the latest top 25 poll. If they went beyond 25, they would be number 27.
Ridiculous.
A&M is ranked ahead of Oregon State, 4-1. Baylor, 4-1. A&M is ranked ahead of Mississippi State, identical 3-2 record. Mississippi State's number 30. They won head-to-head. Virginia Tech is 31st. Who is buying stock in Jimbo? I don't know, other than the fools down in College Station. He signed an extension now, remember, just a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
4-year extension. Gave him a raise.
Yeah.
He went from $7.5 million to $9 million. And here's where it gets really nutty when you give it full context. He's been there since December 2017 when he left Tallahassee as a burning tire.
Mm-hmm.
10-year, $75 million contract that was fully guaranteed. So's the new one.
Oh.
And he'll be there through 2031. If I am a power that be at Texas A&M, I am panicking because they are funneling money to this guy to go 3-2.
Absolutely, Scott. A team that I am panicking about, and I know a lot of fans are panicking at the moment, is the University of Florida Gators going into Lexington. And I said last week on the program, we struggle in Lexington. We're able to usually pull it out, but we always have a tough time with that crowd. We lost a tough one, 10-23. Quite honestly, Scott, it wasn't even that close. Florida didn't play a good football game. Kentucky They were throwing the ball really well, running the ball really well. Their offense looked great. I think now with the Florida Gators being 3-2, a loss versus Alabama and a loss versus Kentucky, our college football playoff hopes are absolutely dead. I don't think that a two-loss team will be able to make it in outside of Clemson if they win out, which I don't think they will. And, I mean, it's just tough because every year we feel like the Florida Gators have the pieces. You know, last year we had the pieces with Kyle Pitts, with Kyle Trask, Kadarius Toney. This year, the same thing. We have an experienced quarterback, experienced wide receivers, and we're just not able to get it done.
15 penalties. Mm. 115 yards. 8 of them false starts because Big Blue Nation was in full effect.
You're not going to beat Georgia doing that, Scott. No. You're not going to beat Georgia.
And you're not going to beat Kentucky either. Here's another panic. Every Power 5 conference except the Southeastern Conference and the Big Ten. They all need to be on high alert right now.
Absolutely.
High alert. Because you've got Cincinnati beating Notre Dame. And I've given you the formula. Mm-hmm. I have given you the formula over and over what you need to be a Group of 5 team to get into the playoff. 2 Power 5 wins. 2. And they've got them. They beat Indiana, which I still think Indiana's a good football team. It's got some issues, but pretty good team.
Yeah.
And they beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame.
Hmm.
That is part of the formula. You've got a coach who gets name, who gets the headlines.
Absolutely.
You've got players that are in the mix for lots of awards and conversations. Everything is setting up perfectly for Cincinnati as long as they don't blow it going forward. It can't happen. Any team can lose any given day, except maybe Bama or Georgia.
Yeah.
Oof. But if I'm the Pac-12, if I'm the ACC, if I'm the Big 12, I am going, man, we're probably not going to have a playoff team this year.
Yeah, more than likely.
Well, as it shapes up right now, we will get 2 teams out of either the Big 10 or the SEC. It's going to happen.
Yes.
And then the third spot is going to go to one of those conferences that didn't have the 2 teams.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say we get 2 out of the SEC, 1 out of the Big 10. That's 3 spots. I got news for you, dude. Number 4 is going to go to Cincinnati or BYU.
More than likely, yeah. More than it's been a crazy chaos year. That seems like the right fit, right?
I need to see more out of Wake Forest. I hate to say it.
Yes.
I never bet against Dave Clawson, the fighting Dave Clawson's up in Winston-Salem, but I'm telling you right now, I just need to see more.
Yeah.
And what we see, though, is it going to be that great? The schedule is lacking. Yeah, they're still going to play Clemson, but we know this is not Clemson of years past. And what if Clemson gets its act together and actually wins the ACC? That could be the worst thing to happen to the conference.
And I think that's what we're all holding on to watching Clemson, because they have the pieces, Scott. They have the talent. Now, if they can put it together, I think they can go up against anybody in the country, especially with that defense.
That offense is bad.
It's bad. It's bad.
They're not going to go against anybody in the country. Georgia will blow their doors off.
Well, yeah.
Alabama will blow their doors off. But anybody else. But the worst thing that could happen would be Clemson winning the conference.
Yeah.
Because 2 losses and those 2 losses, no, they're not going to get in the playoff. So eliminate the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon has already stubbed its toe
against
Stanford, which Stanford's better than we expected.
Mm-hmm.
They're shooting themselves in the foot. And Oklahoma's going to lose a game, dude. Let me tell you right now. Oklahoma's going to lose a game. Maybe to our buddy Mike Gundy, their rival Oklahoma State, Bedlam.
Yeah, they've got Oklahoma State and Baylor still left on the schedule, right?
In Texas.
Woo! Those are three games.
That's this week, isn't it? The Red River rival?
I believe so.
I think that's this week. Yeah, that's my second panic. Who else you got?
Yeah, Scott, going to transition real quick to the NFL. The team that you love so much, the Pittsburgh Steelers. 1-3 at the moment, coming off a loss to the Green Bay Packers. And quite honestly, it was an ugly game, 17-27. Big Ben at the moment can't throw anything over 20 yards. The only deep pass that he had was on a free play penalty. That was the start of the game. They went up 7-0. But that offense is struggling. The defense is healthy with TJ Watt. He's back. And they still weren't able to create a ton of pressure on Aaron Rodgers. I think this is the time where the Pittsburgh Steelers have to take a look at their quarterback and the rest of their offense and understand that it is time to move on from Big Ben Roethlisberger.
Big Ben couldn't pass the gravy at Thanksgiving right now, man.
I mean, it's looking like last year when Drew Brees, his final season, the last about 10 games where he really was struggling to throw the ball, 20, 25 yards down the field. And that's – you can't win games if you can't throw the deep ball in the NFL.
I know, man. I saw a stat – I want to say since starting 11-0, the Steelers are 2-7.
Yes. I believe that's correct.
Yeah. One of those wins over Buffalo.
Yeah, the first game of the season.
Year. Yeah.
And everybody got so hyped and was like, okay, here the Steelers go. I mean, the defense held Josh Allen to under 250 yards and 16 points. I mean.
It's a panic Monday.
It is a panic Monday, Scott.
It's also a best and worst of the weekend Monday. Give us your best of the weekend, your worst of the weekend, 843-721-9500, 843-721-9500, or hit me up on Twitter at Scott H Radio. You're listening to The Scott Hamilton Show. Making the final lap, first hour of the Scott Hamilton Show on Panic Monday. It's also a best and the worst of the weekend Monday. Give us a call, 843-721-9500. 8 o'clock tonight, Tiger calls. You can listen to it on 98.5, 1340 AM. Raiders at Chargers. I guess that's a battle of teams with just palatial stadiums. 8:15 kickoff on ESPN. Chargers, 3-point favorites. No Manning megacast. I will not be watching then.
Such a shame. Such a shame.
I can't do it because I really... The NFL has my attention, but doesn't hold my attention. Mm-hmm. And the only way they can hold my attention is with the hijinks of the brothers Manning.
Yeah, you know, and I've seen a lot of mixed opinions on the Manning cast. It's like... Sometimes when you watch it, you can kind of get out of the game and you're just listening to the conversation. But I feel like that makes it cool. You know, you got the game going on, but you have two legend brothers that are, you know, breaking down everything that goes on during the game. You learn so much.
They're just dudes I want to hang out with as well.
Yeah. You know, want to have, you know, share a beer with.
Yes. All right. We did our picks on Friday. You went 6-1 last week.
Yeah, I did.
Week four.
I did.
I didn't do so hot, but I didn't do awful, but I didn't go 6-1. But you, sir, received your comeuppance, right?
I did. I did this week. We definitely took a step back. You know, there were a lot of games we thought were going to go our way that didn't. So, Scott, we did our sleeper picks. I went 2-2 on the sleeper picks. You got 2-4 for you, Scott. A couple added extra games there. You had Indiana, and they lost to Penn State. We did have Syracuse at Florida State. Florida State getting its first win of the season, Scott, which is good for them, good for the mojo. I did not expect them to win, but I did have Syracuse to cover the plus 5.5. You didn't touch that game, however. You didn't like it. You said, I'm not doing this one
no.
right now. And then Iowa at Maryland. I had the over 47.5, which I was incredibly – that was kind of, you know, off the limb pick. I was hoping for points in that game, just being a Friday night. And Iowa ended up scoring more points alone than the over itself. They ended up with 51 points. The over was 47.5. You had the under there, Scott, but you did have Iowa to win outright. So there you go. Helps the record right there. That was a pretty surprising game, though, for me. I mean, Maryland, they could not keep up. Even though they're undefeated, they could not keep up with Iowa 1 second at all.
I really like that team, though.
Yeah.
That Maryland team. I'm still optimistic about it.
Yeah.
Going forward, I like what they're doing. Because Little Tua, what is he, a junior?
I believe so. I believe he's a redshirt junior. Yeah, because he had a year that he was at Alabama.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So I'm still optimistic with that team. I mean, I'm not a Maryland fan or anything, but I like what I see from them so far. But Iowa's exceptional.
Yeah, they are. They're playing good football right now.
And it makes you wonder about what's going to happen in the Big Ten championship game because, to Ryan Leaf's point, can cannibalize itself.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Because the Big Ten East, is the Big Ten East better than the SEC West? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. I think yes.
At the moment.
Well, you have the Supreme Alpha in Bama, but who's number two in the Big Ten West? Is it still Arkansas, I presume? I would imagine.
At the moment, yeah, you think.
And then Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the Big Ten East, though, you've got just this hodgepodge of teams having great years. You've got Penn State at 5-0. You have Michigan at 5-0. You have Michigan State at 5-0. And then, of course, there's still Ohio State at 4-1. That's a tough one, man.
Yeah, Ohio State also, they're starting to play good football right now. And all those teams, Scott, are going to be playing each other in the coming week. So it's going to be really interesting to see. Let's go through our picks that we made. Arkansas at Georgia, Scott. Both of you and I had Arkansas to cover the plus 18. This game wasn't even close from the starting kickoff. Georgia's defense, like you were saying, Scott, one of the best in the country, if not the best in the country. They didn't give Arkansas anything. I believe KJ Jefferson had 65 yards passing. They win out. Georgia wins outright 37-0 here, Scott.
I was stunned.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Arkansas had to be stunned. I think part of it also, and I mentioned this, was that Arkansas was just not prepared for that stage.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know those guys are 60-year seniors. I think they have 11 super seniors on that team. But none of them have been on that kind of stage with those kinds of stakes. And I had to be part of it.
Absolutely,
yeah. And I know Sam Pittman has coached in those environments as an assistant at Georgia, but he's not been the head coach in those environments.
Yep.
So I think there, that might have also played a role in it. I'm still high on Arkansas. I'm still impressed by what I'm seeing year two under Sam Pittman, but I thought it'd be closer.
Yeah, it's fading away a little bit here. Another game we picked, Scott, Boston College at Clemson. Clemson was getting 14.5 points. We both took the under here of 46.5. We knew that this was going to be a defensive battle because both the offenses, especially Boston College not having their starting quarterback, were going to struggle on the offensive side. Clemson wins in a close one, 19-13. Good for Clemson to get a win starting October, hopefully leading it to the rest of the season.
Good,
Scott,
for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good for us, man, for taking the under.
Yeah, we knew it. I mean, we knew it. That Clemson defense still, I mean, the offense is struggling. They're still one of the best in the country.
That was easy money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You knew. You just knew. Especially looking at the Georgia Tech-Clemson game and then even the NC State-Clemson game, you knew it was going under that. Another game here, Scott, Cincinnati at Notre Dame. You and I both took Notre Dame +2, and quite honestly, it wasn't really close coming to the end. Cincinnati pulled it out 24-13, really solidifying themselves as a true college football playoff contender. Desmond Ritter is one of the best quarterbacks in the country. I think he looked very smooth throughout the entire game. And that defense plays tough. They're a physical football team. You can tell with Luke Fickell's roots on the defensive side that they really rally around him. They play physical, tough defense, and they shut Notre Dame down on all three phases.
I'm more and more impressed.
Every week.
And again, they've got the formula, dude.
Yeah, they do.
They've got the formula. They got the coach, they got the players, they got the schedule, they got the hype.
Mm-hmm.
They got the preseason ranking that they needed. They have the momentum created by last year. Everything is set for Cincinnati. Just don't throw up on yourself.
Yeah, you can't have one slip up against a mid-major average team right now.
Yep.
You're going to have to win. They will have to go undefeated,
sure,
to make the playoff, right?
And they should.
Yeah.
There's no reason ever a group of five teams should ever get in with a loss unless they have just the most ungodly schedule in the world. And it would take an independent, which they won't be independent long, like a BYU to have that schedule to get in.
Right. Okay.
That's it. I mean, because they would have to have probably five Power Five ranked teams on their schedule, beat four of them, have a narrow loss to the fifth one maybe. I don't know. But there's no reason that a group of five team with a loss should ever get in until they expand the playoff and they'll go with the sixth highest ranked conference champs.
Okay.
Maybe that's why. I don't know. I might have to do the mental gymnastics on it.
Yeah, another game here, Scott. Ole Miss, Alabama, the premier, 3:30 CBS. Alabama wins 42-21, and quite honestly, it wasn't close like we were talking about earlier. The 21 points were strictly garbage time. Ole Miss couldn't, besides that first drive, they couldn't really get anything going on the offensive side. Tim Anderson, I believe, the Alabama linebacker, he is absolutely unbelievable. He flies around the field. That whole defense, I think they're being, you know, relatively underappreciated at the moment. Alabama's got a really good defense. But I tell you what, Scott, Bryce Young looks like one of the best quarterbacks I've seen in a while coming out of Alabama. And that's saying something because we've had a ton of good talent. He can really move in the pocket. His awareness is amazing. I'm loving what I'm seeing from the Tide right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all we can say.
Yeah, I mean, I took the over 79.5. That did not hit. And Scott, you took Ole Miss to cover the 14.5. That did not hit as well. I mean, like we said, those points were in garbage time. It was never close throughout the entire game. Ole Miss still has a ton of work to do, as we've seen coming off this Alabama game.
Yeah, that's all I can say. I mean, well, you know, we'll explore it more next hour when Cole Kubelik of the SEC Network joins us. But man, I'm shell shocked. I'm as shell shocked as anybody. Because we really thought we did. We thought those games were going to be way more competitive. I mean, we were hyping them up for a couple weeks.
Even Michigan, Wisconsin,
Michigan, Wisconsin.
I thought that was going to be closer too, and Michigan blew the doors off of them.
A day after they named the field after legendary coach Barry Alvarez.
Unbelievable.
They go and just get curb stomped.
Yeah.
By Coach Khaki Pants and the Wolverines. But that the Arkansas, Ole Miss, what are they feeling these days? Maybe still recovering from the weekend. I don't think they're panicking, but they got a reality check. We're going to ask Cole Kublik, former team captain, Auburn, now an analyst at ESPN. We're going to ask him when he joins us on the Saitama guest hotline, try to wrap our arms around everything happening in the Southeastern Conference. Stick around for more of the Scott Hamilton Show. Welcome back. The second hour of the Scott Hamilton Show, brought to you by the U.S. Navy's Military Sealift Command. It's hiring civilian mariners for a variety of seagoing positions in all departments: deck, engine, supply, culinary, and communications. You can go to sealiftcommand.com or call 1-877-JOBS-MSC for details. I'm looking at Kentucky, Florida. Kentucky, man, I told you it was egregious that the Wildcats were not ranked. They were 4-0, looked great. You know, looked good. I'm not going to say great, but looked solid. They looked like a football team that had very few holes. They're running the ball. They're passing it good enough. The defense, as always, under Mark Stoops, excellent.
Yeah.
Enter the poll, top 25 at number 16.
Okay.
That's what a win over the Gators will do for you. The Gators dropped to 20th, 3-2. I want to say the Gators are the only two-loss team that is ranked in the top 25.
So that's showing that the voters still have some hope, at least for the Gators. But, I mean, the date that's circled on my calendar is October 30th against the Georgia Bulldogs.
Of course.
Quite nervous.
You should be every year. You should be nervous.
Yeah, I mean, Scott, that defensive line is no joke.
I would be twisting if I were Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen, poor form after the game, by the way.
Yep.
Go ahead and give us your take on it. It was sour grape, sore loser, whatever you want to call it. He was not good.
I've been off the Dan Mullen train for quite some time now. After last season, I mean, like I've said it a million times, last season was the year to get it done. You had the roster both on offense and defense, and it just seems like in pressure game situations, Dan Mullen's not stepping up to the occasion. It's a team effort. The coach has to be with it, just like the players. And, I didn't like what he was saying, post-game. But we need to pick it up, Dan. We need to pick it up, even though Florida did extend him to, I believe, 2026. So he's going to be there for a couple another years at least. But I'm not liking what I've seen from Dan Mullen at the moment, Scott.
It's funny because just a couple weeks ago I was saying what we saw in the second half against Alabama was maybe the best coaching job Dan Mullen's ever done. And then he turns around. It's just the optics of everything that happened at Kentucky and the way he just said they were not mentally tough. And that's on the coach, man. It's up to the coach to get the players. Turnovers and penalties, that is on the coach whenever that happens. 15 penalties, 115 yards. That's not going to get it done. That's definitely not going to get it done on the road. It's definitely not going to get it done against a good team. Let me tell you about Saitama, new player in the cryptocurrency game, but people are making boatloads of money. That market cap started at just a few million bucks. Now it's over $1.4 billion. I check my wallet regularly. You need to get on board as well. Get coached up, get educated, make some money. Go to SaitamaToken.com. Georgia and Bama, Bama, Georgia. I don't know which one's better. I'm leaning towards Bama just because of the Saban factor and because they do have a kicker that tends to miss kicks. It's what Bama does. They miss kicks. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that amazing? Because we might need to do the homework here, but I think they missed a PAT against Ole Miss, I want to say.
They might have.
I'm pretty sure they missed yet another kick. But when you're looking at that as the only chink in your armor, you got pretty good armor, dude.
And that's what Saban was basically saying in his press conference. You know, he was like, I mean, the only thing we really need to get better at is, you know, finishing the football game. He didn't add on the special teams, but on the offensive and the defensive side, Alabama was picture perfect in that football game.
You know, I agree with Cole. I mean, there's nowhere for Jimbo to go, but his seat can still be scalding hot. They're not going to get rid of him. It cost him
not yet
millions of dollars to get rid of him at this point, but come on, man. You're making $9 million a year. Do better than 3-2.
I feel like we've just seen a repetitive nature from Jimbo Fisher in these disappointing seasons every year. Every year Texas A&M is that's supposed to be their year. They've got the quarterback, they've got the running back, and it just hasn't come to fruition yet. So when do you take that into account of getting rid of a coach?
I don't know. In LSU, we talked about it last week, looking at that schedule. They go to Lexington this week, play the Wildcats.
Uh-oh.
Wildcats are favored by 3. I think that line will swell to about 5. Then they've got Florida at home. Then they go to Ole Miss. Then they go to Bama. Then they got Arkansas. Take a breather with Louisiana Monroe. And then they got A&M and LSU season finale. Wow. Things are going to get sideways even more for Coach O down in Baton Rouge. Best and worst of the weekend. Give us a call, 843-721-9500, 843-721-9500. You're listening to The Scott Hamilton Show. Welcome back. Our interview with Cole Kublik on the Saitama Guest Hotline will be available later today. CharlestonSportsRadio.com, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search and subscribe to The Scott Hamilton Show. Cole, man. I liked his assessment on offensive line play, and it was really pertinent given what happened at Kroger Field.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the teams are doing I couldn't hear. I mean, I couldn't hear that.
5 or 6 times, you know, like I'm sure it's getting confusing for some of the offensive linemen.
And he's spot on. I mean, if you're doing it on rhythm, well, the defense is eventually going to pick up the rhythm.
Yeah.
And then they just pin their ears back and go, and that's bad news for everybody on the offensive side of the football.
Yeah, and you're seeing that on film as well, you know, what they're doing pre-snap with the collapse and everything. So it's probably easy to catch on.
And if the quarterback goes under center, more than likely it's going to be a fumble because nobody does that anymore.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. We've seen that a ton over the last couple weeks.
You just don't practice it. You just don't do it. And again, it goes back to that's rhythm. If you're under center, then suddenly going from that shotgun snap, you're looking at 3-step drops, 5-step drops, 7-step drops. I mean, there used to be so many different types now.
Right.
And I'm going to get a quarterback on. I'm going to ask him this question at some point this week. Back in the day, that's what it was all about. How was he on the 3-step drop, the 5-step drop, and even a 7-step drop? There was such a thing. Mm-hmm. Now everything's out of the shotgun, everything's out of the pistol, or laterally.
Yeah, okay.
With the RPO stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, do they even teach the art of the 3, 5, and 7-step drop anymore? Mm.
Yeah, it's interesting. And exactly your point with the RPO stuff. Sometimes you're not even taking a step. You're snapping the ball, you're hitching your hips, and then you're going one way. You're not even backing up. And even out of shotgun sometimes, you see like Emory Jones, I'll notice him. He's taking 1 to 2 steps. He's not doing a true 3-step drop like we usually see, especially in the NFL.
Well, it's all lateral.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all lateral. So I'll get us a quarterback or a quarterback coach this week. And we'll dive a little bit into the nuances of quarterback play in 2021 and how it differs from, you know, 2001.
Yeah. Oh, it's so much different. So much different.
It's all these 7-on-7 camps. And then center play. You know, I regret not asking Cole that question, how center play has changed. Because I'm of the mind that the center isn't a true center anymore. He's almost like another guard.
Right, okay.
Because you've got the shotgun snap, you've got the pistol snap. That's very different than a traditional quarterback-center exchange where the quarterback puts his hands under the hips.
And you're being told a ton from the box, obviously. So, you know, centers coming down, you know, identifying the mic, doing that kind of stuff is really out of the game because you have so much information coming up to you 15 seconds before the ball snapped.
It's different. The game has evolved so much. Just so much. The game has changed just so much. 8 false start penalties. And I've been to many games at Kroger Field. Many games at Kroger Field. And I've been there when it's been loud. But still, I don't see where it's ever... It's even acceptable to say it's because of crowd noise. And that, Dan Mullen, again, just bad look, dude, afterward. Bad look. Not a good look at all for the Florida Gators. You know, it's an SEC road game. It's going to be loud. We get that. But then you had Dan Mullen, and I think it was – he had a 10-7 lead at halftime.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He ate 3 timeouts at one point at the Gators 34. I don't understand.
That's what, you know, I was talking about. Like, there's just decisions during the game that are made by Dan Mullen. We've seen it over the last couple of years that just, you know, raise an eyebrow. You wonder why those things are being made, especially from a coach of his caliber.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's very different considering just a couple of weeks ago I said that was probably his best coaching job ever.
Right, yeah.
Ever against Alabama. That second half was masterful.
Even though they still lost, I mean, it was a phenomenal performance.
Georgia got 9 first-place votes this week. Bama got 53, so they got a few more than they've gotten in the past.
I think it shows, though, with Georgia's offense, Scott, that even with the backup in Stetson Bennett, and he's proved that he can win ball games. He's a good football player, but they put up points against a good physical Arkansas defense. So if that offense is, you know, getting rolling because it wasn't at the start of the season, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, down the line how they work.
Offensive line play across the board is kind of down this year at some places. Then you have places like Iowa where it's exceptional.
They fire off the ball.
They do fire off the ball. And I know they have an experienced line and all that, but it just seems to be down across the board. You know, Arkansas is up, other than against Georgia, Arkansas's offensive line is exceptional, but everywhere else in the country, it's kind of spotty at best. I'm still trying to figure out why these people are in love with Penn State. I'm not in love with Penn State. Honestly, they should have lost to Auburn.
I agree. Scott, same thing like with Dan Mullen. James Franklin, obviously it feels like he's kind of competing for that USC job at the moment, which he might want, he might not. Penn State's a good program. But every year, you know, Penn State puts themselves in good positions to win, and towards the end of the season they get into Big Ten play. It just seems to not work out in the long run.
I have real issues with this top 25. I really have serious issues. And, you know, again, it's not going to matter in a couple weeks. We're going to get those first playoff rankings and nobody's going to care.
What's your main bugaboo here?
Well, I don't understand Penn State being ahead of Cincinnati.
Agreed.
What is the signature win? What is the signature win for Auburn? Or Penn State, rather. Is it Auburn? And, again, that's the 7th best team in the SEC.
No doubt. No doubt.
And, yeah, they beat Indiana and... But show me more before you put them forth. That is the media being in love with James Franklin.
Yeah, we see it every year. They love the guy for some
reason. They love the guy. That is brand recognition. They're Penn State. They're little old Cincinnati. I don't get it. I don't know that I would have Penn State ahead of Oklahoma. I don't. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Some of those close wins with Oklahoma just turns my stomach a little sideways, wanting to put them into the top 4. Yeah.
Yeah, that's that whole program just doesn't do much for me. I'm looking now. There were actually 1, 2, 3. There were 4 voters of the 61-person AP voting panel that did not have Penn State ranked at all.
Wow.
Including Cecil Hurt, very renowned columnist in Tuscaloosa.
Unranked.
I wonder if that was just a mental error.
Maybe, because, you know, they are undefeated in the Big Ten. But, Scott, this next month and a half for Penn State is going to be a real test for them. They've got Iowa. They've got Ohio State. They've got Michigan. It's going to be interesting to see how they do in these games.
21 voters had them 3rd, including our friend Brett McMurphy. Wow. That that kind of Matt Mercer, our friend in Orlando, had them third.
Wow. Okay.
I just don't get it. I don't get it. What is the love affair with Penn State?
Are we missing something? I don't like it.
And then I'm looking at Cincinnati. All right, I see a pattern here. Same four guys had Cincinnati unranked. I'm thinking they didn't turn in their ballots.
It's an error.
I'm looking now. And his ballot is incomplete. So, okay, maybe that explains it.
Makes sense.
I don't understand. This is my heat check. Let's do some more heat checks on the other side. You're listening to The Scott Hamilton Show.
Oh!
We're halfway through second hour of The Scott Hamilton Show on Monday. Remember, second hour brought to you by the U.S. Navy's Military Sealift Command. They got some good programs going on over there, because if job security, service to country, and federal civil service employment interest you, consider a seagoing career with the U.S. Navy's Military Sealift Command. You'll get a competitive salary, and you'll be able to apply your skills to a position in communications, navigation, engineering, culinary, or supply departments on board Navy vessels. You can learn more about those careers at sealiftcommand.com. or by calling 877-JOBS-MSC. So, it's not a knee-jerk reaction. We're not prisoners of the moment saying Alabama and Georgia are just so much better than everybody. I mean, that's the truth.
No, not at all. Not at all.
You know, we got the eye test. We got the stats. We got the records. I mean, it's a fact. But not everything is so cut and dried.
No, absolutely, Scott. And so we got a couple heat checks for us to do here to make sure we're not getting too overzealous about anything. There's a lot of takes going on after the weekend, so I want to dive into a couple with you, Scott, get your in-depth analysis on them. After a dominant win this weekend over Wisconsin, Coach Khaki Pants, who was not wearing khaki pants during the game, they cut to him. He was wearing navy pants, so it was a little interesting to see that switch up on Coach Harbaugh's pot. But are they college football playoff contenders with the football they're playing? Because at the beginning of the season, we thought they were just going to be a run team, but they showed against Wisconsin they can throw the football. Are they a legitimate playoff contender?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think a team out of the Big Ten East could and should probably make the college football playoff, assuming they don't get just curb stomped by Iowa.
Yeah.
I really like what I'm seeing out of Michigan. It's got the schedule, obviously, to have that resume. They look like a team that doesn't make mistakes.
Yep,
they
absolutely
look, dare I say it, well coached.
Yeah, for the first time in a while, it seems like,
yeah,
right?
Since early in the Harbaugh tenure. Again, first week in October.
Yeah.
A lot of football remains, and we've seen Michigan teams throw up all over themselves in October and November before, and that white whale is still out there in Columbus. But I like what I'm seeing out of Michigan. I can see them going to the playoff if they maintain what they're doing.
They'll have to win out more than likely, right? They'll have to stay undefeated.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Yes. Next one here, Scott, you mentioned earlier in the program, you actually mentioned it before after I put it on the heat check, Georgia, their defense is one of the best I've ever seen. In my opinion, I've been on this earth for a short time and that defense is unbelievable. Can you go back in the Rolodex of your memory and find any other defense that is much better or even a little bit better than this Georgia squad right now, Scott? Searching.
I'm searching. I mentioned Nebraska from, I think it was 95. That was a really, really, really good defense. There was a defense in Washington, I think it was around 91, that was exceptional. Had a guy named Steve Entman on the Ooh. Team, and I want to say he was a top five draft pick for the Colts, maybe?
Oh, okay.
Michigan in 97.
Good.
With Charles Woodson.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Winning the Heisman Trophy, playing cornerback and receiver. I'm wanting to say Nebraska. Nebraska in 95 was really, really good. Alabama's had some good defenses over the years.
Absolutely.
But I want to say the best I've seen, again, I'm even going to look it up. I'm going to say Nebraska of the mid-90s. They were they were exceptional, man. They were so athletic. They were so strong. Mm-hmm. They were old.
Yeah, experienced.
They were very experienced. Yeah, I'm gonna say in my time on this planet, Nebraska 1995. I'm actually looking up at it right now. Here you go. Interesting note, and I've mentioned it too, is one of the greatest teams I've ever seen. Nebraska's offense, 50 points a game. Is that right?
Wow.
For 1995? Four top 10 teams, and they beat those teams by no less than 23 points each.
Sheesh.
That'll get it done. And then they beat Florida in the national title game 62-24. They were bullies.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Another one here, Scott. After the performance that he had against Notre Dame, this Cincinnati quarterback, Desmond Ridder, not only, this is a two-parter here, if Cincinnati remains undefeated as well as Oklahoma, which one gets that fourth spot in the college football playoff if they're both undefeated?
Gosh. What's Oklahoma's signature win?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you're going to have to – you maybe could say last week at Kansas State, West Virginia, but they haven't really played anybody prominent up until now. I mean, Nebraska, sure, but they're not a great football team.
We'll have to do some transitive thinking, because then we have to look at, well, okay, they beat Texas. Who beat so-and-so, but also who beat Texas? Well, Texas lost Arkansas. Yeah, some transitive thinking. I really think it'll be – it'll be Cincinnati because, well, there's a lot of people sideways with Bob Bowlesby with his accusations against ESPN for tampering and all that stuff.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm thinking that might end up biting him in the rear end. And also, I go back to my formula.
Mm-hmm.
You got the coach du jour, Luke Fickell.
Great coach.
You got two non-conference Power 5 wins in Indiana, solid team, and Notre Dame. You know, that might be their only loss.
Yeah.
You've got notable players. You've got goodwill built from last year, which resulted in the preseason ranking you have to have. I think it's Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati gets it over Oklahoma. I think there's also a little bit of a hangover. They want something different. Everybody wants something different. You're going to have Bama. You're going to have Georgia. More of the same old, same old. Mm-hmm. Let's get something different, and it'll be Cincinnati. It might be Cincinnati and Michigan. It might be Cincinnati and Iowa.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And part two to that question, I know you can't talk on it much, but has Desmond Ridder done enough to be a Heisman Trophy front runner?
They keep winning.
They keep winning. Yeah.
They keep winning. That's, you know, you got to have that player.
Absolutely.
That's part of the Cincinnati formula. So I think right now, Matt Corral didn't hurt himself.
No? Okay. I was going to ask you that. Yeah.
He didn't hurt himself. Okay. He had a decent game.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But
first quarter
Bryce
was great.
Young looked really good. Granted, he had some short fields with which to work.
Yeah.
Desmond Ridder looked good. Spencer Rattler got he did better. I think he completed 88% of his passes.
Yeah, he had a good game there playing Kansas State.
But he's dropped off my radar.
Absolutely. And Sam Howell as well. They're both out of there. Yeah. Last one here, Scott, before we get to break, going to the ACC. Clemson, since the first time in 2014, they are an unranked team. We haven't seen that in a very long time. Now, with that win against Boston College, do you think they should have been in the top 25 or keep them out for the near future?
I don't understand how a team can win over an undefeated team and fall out. They mm-hmm. should have been ranked.
I agree.
I found that to be unacceptable to not have them ranked. And I'm looking now at the teams ranked ahead of them. And Southern Methodist 5-0, San Diego State 4-0. I get it.
Mm.
But how can you penalize a team that was previously ranked for winning over an undefeated team? I just think that was poor form.
Maybe it was because Boston College wasn't ranked, even though they were undefeated?
They did what they were supposed to do. They beat them.
Yeah, yeah.
They did what they were supposed to do, and I don't know. I think that's terrible form. It sets a bad precedent, but, again, it won't matter in a couple weeks when the playoff rankings come out and the AP poll just goes the way of the dodo bird for another year. We'll clean things up, call today, when we return on the other side. You're listening to The Scott Hamilton Show.
Did a full 180, crazy, thinking about the way I was. Did the heartbreak change me, maybe?
We're making a final lap. Final hour of The Scott Hamilton Show. On Panic Monday. Trying to get everything in order before we call it a day. I am going to effort a quarterback for tomorrow. Who I do not know.
A few up in the air, yeah.
I've got one guy I think I'll call. You might like him.
Ooh.
It'll be a secret.
Yeah. Surprise guest. Secret. Surprise guest Tuesdays.
You like that, don't you?
I do. Absolutely.
Did you keep up with Urban Meyer over the weekend?
My goodness. Did you see that video?
He's issued an apology video. I just sent it to you. See if we can effort that before we close out. Because I can't wait to hear this. I don't know if we should even dive into it, to be honest. Herb, was that girl twerking or what?
She was having a good time. She was having a good time.
He looked like he was having a good time.
Yeah, there's a couple selfies that came out of him for sure. He looked like he was having some fun.
Herb, that guy. I'm not a fan of Urban Meyer. I will go ahead and say that. I try to toe the middle of the road on here, but when it comes to Herb, I just am not a fan of that dude. I keep waiting for the illness.
Yeah.
Here's my take. This will be his illness. It'll come out he's Tiger Woods. And he'll say, I got to go into rehab or something, or go work on myself, and I can't coach anymore. And then he'll show up on TV.
At the USC press conference.
At the USC press conference.
Yeah, he keeps shooting himself in the foot, doesn't he?
I think this is this is like a Murdaugh. It's intentional.
Oh, it's
he paid for this. It's a Murdaugh. It just went bad. Yeah. It's a Murdaugh. We're calling it getting Murdaughed.
I mean, he looked like he was celebrating, you know, after a Thursday night loss to the Bengals. So that's not a great look, Herb, to be out, you know, on the town getting down with some co-eds.
Well, it's not his fault.
No.
It's not his fault. It's always somebody else's fault. He's Herb. Urban Meyer, that guy. There are a few other coaches that I just can't stand. I'm trying to think of one. I don't know if there's another coach that I just cannot stand more than Urban Meyer. I really am. You know, Belichick, I don't mind. He is who he is.
Yeah.
The dude comes to coach every day, comes to win every day. I'm trying to think of another coach that I cannot stand more than Urban Meyer.
I feel like Bill Belichick and Nick Saban are along that line of, like, same with Tom Brady, like, we just respect their greatness regardless of how you feel about them. They're champions, so we respect them. But Urban Meyer, yeah, he's won a couple national championships, but the public view of him has never been good, Scott, ever.
Three national titles. He had two at Florida.
Two at Florida, yeah.
One at Ohio State.
06 and 08 at Florida, yeah.
How many arrests for his players?
51. 51 in his tenure from 2005 to 2010.
It's a shame you knew that so quickly, too. Wow.
Oh, yeah, I did a full episode on it. I mean, I really dove deep. And a lot of them were interesting charges. You know, some were typical college, you know, arrests. But the other ones, I mean, a lot of assault and battery. I mean, not good stuff. A lot of burglary. Not good.
Here you go. Interesting tweet from Ben Volen. Whom I do not know, but he's senior NFL writer at the Boston Globe. There are six rookie head coaches in the NFL. Which one has yet to win a game? Oh, that's timely. Trent, what have we missed?
Garbage time here, Scott. Got a few fighting notes for us. Coming up this weekend, we have the trilogy fight of Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. I'm blanking on the names. This is their third fight. Deontay Wilder won.
It's a boxing match.
It's a boxing match. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
It's on ESPN pay-per-view. First fight, Deontay Wilder took the cake, knocked down Tyson. And then the second fight, it was a lot different. Tyson Fury absolutely beat up Wilder. I'm a little bit nervous for Wilder going into this fight. He's been very silent this entire training camp. But hopefully he gets it done. I mean, the guy's got, I think he's 43-1, 42 knockouts. So, you know, it's going to be a tough test for Fury, but I like Tyson in this one. In the UFC, Dustin the Diamond Poirier.
Dustin the Diamond.
One of my favorite fighters. Obviously, he's taken down McGregor a couple times. He has agreed to fight Charles Oliveira, who is the lightweight champion of the world, on December 11th at UFC 269. Anytime Dustin Poirier enters the octagon, it's going to be a show, obviously, with the McGregor fights. Now him trying to get the lightweight belt. I love his chances in this. He's an absolute Louisiana dog. I love him in this fight, Scott.
Dustin the Diamond.
One of the best names we have. Besides, it's Dustin the Diamond is a great name, and then Sugar Sean O'Malley is the other best name in UFC by far.
Come
by
on,
far.
Man. You know who Dustin Diamond was, though.
Dustin Diamond.
Screech. On Saved by the Bell was Dustin Diamond.
Did not know that.
The late Dustin Diamond. He passed away, I believe, in February.
Rest in paradise, sir. And then last note here, Jimmy Garoppolo went out in the second half against the Seahawks. We got to see first round pick, 3 overall, Trey Lance play. He looked pretty good. You know, obviously some rookie mistakes kind of getting thrown in there relatively quickly. But for now, it seems like Trey Lance will be the starter of the San Francisco 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo is getting an MRI on his calf, so we're going to wait for updates on that. But a lot of rookie quarterbacks now, yeah, Scott, are getting their opportunities to play. Justin Fields had a great game against the Lions. Zach Wilson finally showed out against the Jets. Mac Jones played well, even though they lost against Brady, which I'm sure was a huge game filled with emotions for both quarterbacks. So rookie quarterbacks looking up on the upside as of right now, Scott, and that's garbage time.
I'm looking at this video now after the Arkansas-Georgia game, Sam Pittman getting hugs from Georgia players that he recruited. That's a good sign for the Razorbacks, man. Yeah. When you got, they love this guy. I think he's the real deal. Wow. I'd like to thank our guest for Scott Hamilton Show on Monday, Ryan Leaf, All-American quarterback and Heisman Trophy finalist at Washington State, giving us his take on the college football landscape, and ESPN SEC Network analyst Cole Kublik, breaking down everything going on in the Southeastern Conference. All of today's interviews on the Saitama Guest Line will be available later today on charlestonsportsradio.com, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you consume podcasts. Just search and subscribe to The Scott Hamilton Show. For my producer and sidekick, Trent Corville, I'm Scott Hamilton. Hit me up on Twitter. Follow me at Scott H Radio. Until tomorrow, Tuesday, we're out.